Well, good evening, church family. Welcome to our midweek prayer and Bible study meeting. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24 this evening. Matthew chapter 24. I'm reading through the Gospels at the moment in my quiet time. And Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35 was a real encouragement to me. Let's read verse 35 of Matthew chapter 24, and then we will pray. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35 reads, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we're so thankful for this time of Bible study and prayer, and we do ask now that you would still our hearts, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And teach us, O God, encourage us from your precious word. And Lord, we ask that you would prepare our hearts for prayer as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. This verse here in Matthew chapter 24, word for word, is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. A triple emphasis. Our Lord Jesus makes this statement following his explanation of future events, and that is the context of this chapter and also the following chapter. Now, it was the disciples that initiated the conversation. The disciples were eager to show our Lord Jesus the glory of the current temple. Note there in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 1, it reads, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." The disciples were eager to show him the glory of this temple. And then in verse number 2, the Lord Jesus went on to predict its destruction. Note then verse number 2, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So in response to this, the disciples asked some questions concerning future events, future prophecy. Note then verses 3 and 4. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive thee." We have within Matthew chapter 24 and 25 what we refer to as the Olivet Discourse, simply because our Lord Jesus taught while he was on the Mount of Olives. Now, the first section of these two chapters runs from verse 1 all the way through to verse number 42. And these verses have the nation of Israel in focus. This section gives us some insight into the main events of the seven-year tribulation period to come. From verses 4 to 8 of Matthew chapter 24, we have some insight concerning the first half of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And then from verses 9 to 14, events leading up to the end, such as those that will be saved during the tribulation period. And these verses also make reference to worldwide chaos and the gospel being preached throughout the whole world. And then as we read on in verses 15 to 28, we have reference to the second part of the tribulation period. The Bible refers to this as the Great Tribulation. Note then verse 21, "For then shall there be great tribulation." In verse number 8, and these are the beginning of sorrows. So we see that the first part of the tribulation period to come is referred to by our Lord as the beginning of sorrows. And then the second part of the tribulation period is referred to as the great tribulation. Now, after the tribulation period, verses 29 to 31 make reference to what will take place. Signs in heaven, the coming of Christ with his saints, and the gathering of the saved Jewish nation, the redeemed Jewish nation. That's verses 29 to 31. So we have within these verses a bird's eye view of future prophecy. Now this corresponds exactly with Daniel's 70th week prophecy concerning Israel as a nation in Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse number 15 of Matthew 24. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So it's amazing that our Lord Jesus here in Matthew chapter 24 verse 15 takes us back to Daniel chapter 9. And this also corresponds with Revelation chapter 13. The Bible talks about the coming of a world leader during the tribulation period. And this world leader will promise 7 years of peace. But he will become the world dictator. And he will demand worship. And this is what is referred to here in Matthew 24:15, the abomination of desolation. If you've got time after the prayer meeting tonight, why not read Revelation chapter 13, which gives us the full details of this. So the details of the tribulation period are fully spelled out within the book of Revelation from chapter 6 to 19. But we have here within Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 42, a bird's eye view of this tribulation period, which will focus predominantly upon the nation of Israel. This 7-year period of judgment will follow immediately after the rapture of the New Testament church. For those of us that are redeemed, for those of us that have placed our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we will not go through the tribulation period. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, we have details concerning the rapture of the New Testament church, the catching away of Christians from the earth. But then here in chapter 5, note there verses 1 and 2, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Note verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now here in chapter 4, leading into chapter 5, this is in reference to the rapture. The New Testament church will be taken from the earth, and then God will pour out his wrath upon the world of unbelief. And this is centralized upon the nation of Israel. Note then verse number 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety. See, the tribulation period will begin with a promise of peace. This world leader will promise peace. In fact, he will sign a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. So this period of tribulation will begin with peace, but then the Bible teaches us sudden destruction cometh upon them. But we that are in Christ, we don't need to fear. Note then verse number 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness,
darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. What day? The beginning of the day of the Lord. And then we read in verse number 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible teaches us that we will be delivered from the wrath to come. Note that phrase there in chapter 5, verse 2. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The phrase, the day of the Lord, includes events from the rapture of the church, that is a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We will be taken from the earth, and then this tribulation period will begin that our Lord Jesus makes reference to in Matthew chapter 24. And this time period from the day of the Lord begins with the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation period, and it will climax into the eternal realm. Revelation chapters 21 and 22. The eternal realm will be preceded by destruction. Now note here, please, in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 it reads, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Note that phrase. In the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. So the eternal realm will be preceded by the destruction of the current earth and heaven. The heaven here is in reference to our atmosphere and the what is referred to as the second heaven, where God has placed the stars. And the Bible teaches us, because the earth and the first and second heaven have been tarnished by sin, that God will destroy and create a new heaven and a new earth. This is the event that our Lord Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35. Go back to Matthew chapter 24, please. Let's read verses 34 and 35. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away. There it is. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The destruction of the current heaven and earth will be the climax of God's judgment to come. Now, in Noah's day, he judged the world by water. But in the future, he will judge the world by fire. So Jesus Christ went on to say, this current world will pass away, it will be destroyed, and God will make all things new, but my word shall not pass away. My word will stand true. You can rest your faith in my eternal word. Now go to Revelation chapter 21, please. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Note then verses 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Note this, for the first heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away. And there was no more sea. Verse 2, and I saw John, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Look at verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, write, for these things are true and faithful. My friend, I wonder, will you have part? Will you be part of this new creation? The Bible teaches us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things have become new. Will you be part of this new creation? That's the question. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So the Lord Jesus is simply encouraging you and I, and sought to encourage these disciples that there will be a time of judgment to come. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This generation shall not pass until all these things shall be fulfilled. That's what the Lord Jesus said in verse number 34. This will take place. Rest your faith upon the fact that this will take place. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. My friend, God's word is true. It will stand. It stands forever. The word of God cannot be destroyed. We have within our possession a supernatural book. This is the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. This word will stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away. God will create a new heaven and God will create a new earth. But God's word stands true. It will not pass away. And you and I as God's people need to rest our faith in the precious word of God. Because heaven and earth shall pass away. But the word of God stands true. And we can rest our faith in the eternal, inspired, inerrant Word of God. The world is so unstable. People are just so fearful. But we, as God's people, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And we can have our fears conquered by spending time in this eternal Word. Because it is true. The grass withereth. Pardon me, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. See, the Lord Jesus is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We as God's people have a more sure word of prophecy. This word is complete, brethren, and we can rest our faith in the word of God. We need to rest our full confidence in the word of God. It is true. It's filled with countless promises. To what end? That we might be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This evening, brethren, I'd like to encourage you to value the word of God. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Directly, the Lord Jesus made this statement in reference to future prophecy. But may God help us to note the application that every word of God is pure and we can rest our faith in the precious word of God. Let's value the word of God. Let's value the Word of God by reading it, believing it, and also obeying it for God's glory.
I trust that you and I will not take for granted this eternal book. We live in uncertain times. We live in the midst of unstable people, but yet the Word of God is true. We can rest in the promises of God. God has not appointed us a day of wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the Amen. The Lord Jesus is the faithful. The Lord Jesus is the true witness. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So I'd like to encourage you this evening, brethren, as we go to prayer, I'd like to encourage you to value the eternal Word of God. It is our anchor. It is that more sure word of prophecy. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. And I pray that you would help us to value your precious word. Thank you for the words of our Savior, words of comfort. Even though heaven and earth will pass away, your words will not pass away. Lord God, help us to love your precious word and to rest our faith completely in the promises therein. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.